Australian satirical group The Chaser are returning to their print roots for the first time in 10 years with a highly anticipated Chaser Quarterly. Because, as they say, there is not enough content in the world. Tomorrow night, the Giant Dwarf will be hosting the Chaser's quarterly launch party, and along with a new and improved website now up and running and the Chaser's media circus on the ABC, it looks like the Chaser gang have got covering all bases. And joining me in the studio is one of the original Chaser members, Charles Firth. G'day.
Hello. How you going?
Thanks for coming down. I'm going well, thanks. Look, it's been a big time for the Chaser. I mean, the Chaser sort of... You started out, like you say, I think you were at uni with Chaz and Craig?
Oh, everyone.
You're all there.
We all went to Sydney Uni.
Yeah,
okay. Exactly the same
time. You're all together, that's right. And I believe you were editing Honey Soy back then?
So I edited in 95, Craig edited in 96,
right.
And I think Dom edited in 97, so
it was a bit of a monopoly on the...
And Chaz, I think Chaz also did in 97.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So it's been a while, has it been a while since you've done some print, or is this...
I haven't done print for like 10 years.
Yeah, right.
We shut it down in 2005, so for people who weren't born in 2005,
yeah.
Which is presumably...
All our audience have already born by then.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So we were a newspaper. Like, that's actually how we originally launched, back in 99. We launched as a newspaper. It was a fortnightly newspaper. It was it was the bane of our existence because as we got busier and busier, we still had to put out this fortnightly newspaper. And we got very good at just doing all-nighters, you know, on the last night that was due, and then
is that how you work through uni? Just to cram up all night and the night before?
Just learning from uni.
but then
we ended up going, oh, forget this, and shut it down in 2005.
Yeah,
just as the internet was taking over, we saw no future in that.
Yeah, right.
we said, oh, content on the internet, that's not going to work.
Nah.
So we ended up. But the whole point about the Chaser Quarterly is we're coming back and we're doing it properly this time, which is only have to put out 4 editions a year.
That is very good thinking.
Very lazy.
Exactly. And you just, mind you, I bet you're still going to cram that last one.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, this was all done as an all-nighter.
So I'm holding it in my hand. This is issue number one, which is pretty cool, I reckon, to get issue number one. If you go out there, get issue number one of the Chaser Quarterly, because surely there's going to be... hundreds of issues of
this. Oh, exactly. So, this is it'll be like getting issue one of the Bible or something. You know, Genesis, you know.
I like how you're comparing yourself to Jesus. Yeah. That's great.
No, Old Testament, I'm saying. I'm comparing myself to Moses. No, well, God, really.
And it's basically, the cover says The Chaser's Summer Guide to Tax Havens. So that's one of the stories in there you talk about.
This was very topical. We actually, months ago, about a year ago, decided that we were going to set up the Chaser Quarterly as a company in a tax haven and actually do the, you know, because we sort of went, what's the deal? Because Google was set up about 5 months before we got set up.
Yeah.
The Chaser got set up. And Google is now, I think, a $320 billion company.
And you're up there too, right?
And sort of about a 320 cent company. and we're just going, what's the difference? And tax planning was our conclusion.
Yes.
And so, because they have all these elaborate tax havens in Ireland and, you know, the double Irish Dutch sandwich. But we decided we were going to we've actually set the Chaser up. The Chaser Quarterly is now established in this United Arab Emirates country, which I'd never heard of, called RAK. I got a university intern to study up on tax havens.
Wow.
And she uncovered, basically, the way Apple and Google have done it through Ireland is now sort of closed off.
Ah.
But But we've established the same sort of we've done one,
yeah.
And the next step is we're going to then set up an Irish subsidiary, and by the time of about mid next year, our plan is to never again have to pay for any of the hospitals, schools, and roads that our taxes you know go to. We'll just be a modern corporation.
What a great idea!
I know, yeah,
just like every other corporation, you'll be setting yourself up the same way.
And then it came out that Malcolm Turnbull's doing the same thing. Like it's so zeitgeisty. Right. Yeah. It's just. So that's why he's on the front cover in his togs
yeah, right.
on the Cayman Islands just spending some quality time with his money.
With his money, that's yeah. right. look, it's a pretty great little magazine. And you're saying that basically you've got to read it closely because there's everything sort of linked together as you flow through it, right?
Yeah, yeah. So Ben Jenkins, do you know Ben Jenkins?
Yeah.
He runs Story Club. Yeah, and he's on the Story Club.
Yeah.
On Checkout. He wrote these fantastic movie reviews,
yeah.
right? They're just, and I said, just review some movies that should exist this year. Like, do your wrap of the movies that should exist this year, but don't.
Yeah.
So he reviews this, you know, Mick Malloy movie called Prima Don, which is about him dressing up as a ballerina. Like, Mick yeah. Malloy tries to become a ballerina. But, so he does these elaborate sort of movie reviews. And then I got this brilliant designer called Bettina Tan.
Yeah.
I said, just read those movie reviews. Now do movie posters based on those movie reviews. And you just go, and they look real. Like,
yeah.
If you're scanning through them, you just go, the actual ads look like they're real movies. And so you've got to actually sort of, so there's a George Clooney movie in there called Fasala. And it's all gritty and unbearably long and, you know, really important. It's the most important movie of the year.
Yeah.
And Fasala actually means Oscar in Arabic. So, it's just beautiful.
Fasala is once a quiet and is it once a quiet and dangerous film like a butterfly with a gun?
No, exactly. He's very good. So I mean, there's some really great new writers in there, One of the wonderful things has been like we've got James Jericho who does The Shovel down in Melbourne.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He wrote this amazing piece. Which is, I wanted to have, you know how the monthly has those sort of moments in Australian history,
nice.
And they're always a bit sort of like, you know, yeah. vomit at your back of your mouth, sort of soft, sappy moments yeah. about it. So, a bit jingoistic. These are forgotten moments of Australian history, and they're just, the first one is this wonderful essay about the first soccer match between white Indigenous Indigenous players and
yeah.
the Queensland Constabulary, resulting in a score of 8-0,
and
as well as 8 people dead.
Yeah, the massacre of the 12-member Aboriginal team. I mean, there's a picture in here. I don't know where you got this from.
I got this illustrator who's actually Australian but lives in Ireland called Jesse Campbell Brown, who is able to do those sort of colonial-style watercolours. It's just brilliant.
Amazing.
And he did that. He did that for the piece. I mean, there's just some really great... It's just been so gratifying. Because what I've realised is, I think because no one ever gets paid anything for doing proper, funny, interesting, original content anymore, that actually coming up with a model where we go, okay, we are going to actually pay contributors. You know, the whole point about doing this is... Let's actually create a business model that enables new funny writing and long-form funny writing that everyone sort of jumped on board, and we've just got this fantastic...
It's a great thing, and I think The Chaser is doing this well because you're also behind The Giant Dwarf, which is, again, providing a space for talented... You know, actors, musicians, artists, comedians, and this is space in Redfern, and it's just giving everyone the opportunity to sort of get out there and have a show, but get paid properly for it.
I
think it's a great initiative that the Chaser guys are. You're all doing that. You know, it's really great. This is a very satirical magazine, which I think is fantastic. And do you think that sometimes that might make people unsure whether they want to read it because it's like it's not it's all just satire. But it's obviously what you're well known for. But do you think people go trying to get on here reading, looking for some sort of facts or some sort of stories? And they're like, oh, actually, no, this is just funny.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't really care.
No.
I don't care. Well, I suppose the one thing that I am keen to do is get more. Like, there's this fantastic story that Andrew Hansen and Chris Taylor wrote in there.
Yeah.
Which is a sort of profile of this character they created. And they actually did a stage show and toured around Australia at the beginning of the year called Lionel Korn. And he's this sort of George R.R. Martin style novelist. But his whole it's a sort of Don Quixote style story because he's signed a contract that means that 95 he has to do publicity for 95 hours a week, so he doesn't have time to do writing anymore. And it's sort of modern tale of
they're all waiting for the next Game of Thrones book, and he's just like,
And so it's a lot. And what it is a brilliant character piece, and hilarious, but also just a great short story.
Yeah.
And I think that's what. I think of all the pieces, that's sort of like the model in terms of going, yeah, people, you're never going to get any facts out of that. But actually, you'll stay for the good short stories.
Yeah. And it's quality writing, like you say, and you've got some fantastic contributors in there. Now, you've got Malcolm Turnbull on the cover. Back in the late 90s, you famously published PM at the time, John Howard's personal phone number. Do you think Malcolm Turnbull should be concerned? Is there some sort of revelation on him that you can, you know, give?
Do I have his phone number in my phone?
I wouldn't be surprised if you did, eh?
We should. We'll work out a way to. Yeah. Sort of, I was actually there at the office the day the AFP came and gave us a visit. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Just guys, you don't hold back. I love it. And I remember the old days, CNN and N, where you'd go onto the streets and you'd talk to these Americans and ask them to point out where countries were, you know.
Well, actually, I mean, there's an opportunity next year to go back to the US and do more videos because it's sort of like.
Well, they'll be closed off by that stage, so they'll be...
Yeah, that's true. You
know, they won't be letting anyone in. You
know? I'll have to pretend I'm not a Muslim or something.
Yeah. the Chaser Quarterly launching tomorrow night at the Giant Dwarf. I think, like you were saying, it's sort of a bit of a gathering of people and maybe you might be a bit of chat on stage.
Yeah, there'll be some speeches.
Speeches.
There'll be funny speeches. Yeah. I don't really know who, it'll definitely be funny. And then straight after our launch is Veronica Milsom's pantomime.
Yes,
I think it's your last show.
Pantomime. And Veronica came into 2SCR on Saturday, I think, and had a chat about that.
Right, I think that will definitely be worth checking out. It's your whole evening from 6 p.m. looked after. And the actual launch is free. So
great. Fantastic. You're down the Giant Dwarf tomorrow night. Colin, thank you very much. Joel said Todd, not to say Colin.
It's because Joel. I'm so good. I'm as good looking as him, so people always confuse it.
Charles Firth, thank you very much for coming into 2SCR.